You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Want some whiskey and you want a sugar in your tea? What's all this crazy question they're asking me? This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on lights, cause I don't want to see. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come.
Another little bit of trivia. When TPC first went on the air back in the fall of 2004, before we had legendary producer Art Frith, we had producer Thorne Peters. You might have heard of Thorne Peters around here in the local Memphis area. He later became quite famous before his passing, unfortunately, for being an advocate of legalized marijuana. But he was the station producer at the time, so we got him as well as the other shows. Funny guy. I mean, larger than life. He actually hosted a Sonny Landham event that we worked with him on. But anyway, when we first went on the air, he came up with all the production packages, including our intro, the original intro to the Political Cesspool on the first night we went on the air in 2004 was Mama Told Me Not to Come. So there you go. So that's $3.
You know who was the first artist to do that song? And it wasn't a hit for him, but he was a big star. You know who it was? Eric Burden of Eric of the Animals.
There you go. Well, the more you know, folks, the more you know. Well, this is the hour we're going to sink our teeth into the Southern Baptist Convention once again. So this is the week of their annual confab. It's in Nashville this year where they are headquartered. Brad Griffin sent me a message this week about the resignation of Russell Moore, the downfall of Russell Moore, who was basically the Southern Baptist Convention's mouthpiece. He was their go-to guy for the media.
He's a Peck's bad boy.
Well, what he did was basically he would go to all of the Antichrist media and talk about how bad the Southern Baptists were. That was his job, and he did it quite well.
He got paid an enormous amount of money by the Southern Baptists to go around and put them down at every opportunity.
That's right. Talk about how racist they were, how whatever they were. Brad wrote me. He said, when I first read about Russell Moore's article about why he was leaving the Southern Baptist Convention due to psychological terror and trauma, quote-unquote, that he experienced, my instant reaction was to fire off a congratulatory tweet to James Edwards, my friend. And I said, wow, I hadn't heard about that yet. Russell Moore, who has caused so much damage, there's no telling how many people will spend their lives in eternity in hell as a result of the work of Russell Moore. But I had not heard that he had resigned from the SBC until Brad notified me just a few days ago. So,
and I wonder if the Southern Baptists will ever recover for the hemorrhaging membership that was brought
on by Russell Moore. Millions upon millions over the course of this century. But Brad writes quite rightly that the downfall of Russell Moore and people like him illustrates the precarious hold of conservative elites over the people who they claim to represent. Thank God for small mercies. But this is another thing. So Russell Moore would always go to CNN. Now, yes, Jesse Lee Peterson and I were on CNN, but we were brought on to be the villains, and we played the part according to them. Heroes to our people. You can't have a hero without a villain. You can't be a hero unless you have villains. But Russell Moore will go to the Antichrist media and try as hard as he can to win their favor. And
he's a type of Southern Baptist that atheists love.
That's right. Well, they love him. And he leaked his resignation letter to the entire media. Now, if you can think of anything lower than that or more disloyal and more sorry than that, please call in and let me know. But in his resignation letter, he blamed so-called white nationalists and neo-Confederates end quote, for putting him in a state of psychological terror. Now, Keith, he wrote in this letter that he and his children would wake up in the middle of the night screaming because of the racists in the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, number one, did you believe it? And whether you believe it or not, anybody who would even claim that is in desperate need of intensive psychological treatment.
Yeah, like I told you earlier in the week, he is just proving by that comment that he deserves to be under lock and key. He is mentally unstable. I don't think anybody, at least nobody that I could imagine, threatened his life. At least if they had, I'm sure he would have reported it from the highest steeple of the largest Southern Baptist church in the world, wherever it was, which was probably would have been Bellevue Baptist here in Memphis. But he didn't, so it must not have happened. He's just basically mentally unstable. He is, like we said before, one what Freud called one of society's chronic malcontents. And unfortunately, it tells you what the state of the world is now. Being one of those people, one of the chronic social malcontents of the world, is the best way to make $1 million in today's world. Look at the people that run Black Lives Matter.
Well, and Russell, like Russell Moore. I mean, Russell Moore was making high six figures for his job to be an anti-Southern Baptist.
He's also getting under-the-table money from George Soros.
Well, and that's probably not hyperbole. That's not conspiratorial. That is a matter of fact. George Soros funded this entity called the Evangelical Immigration Roundtable, upon which Russell Moore sat, and the entire purpose of it was to get the various denominations to
turn left
and be for illegal immigration and the swamping of our people.
In other words, Christianity was to become synonymous with liberalism. That was Russell Moore's mission in life.
And the fact that he would resign right before a major convention leads me to believe that he was on his way out and he saw the writing on the wall. It's you can't fire me, I quit type of thing. But if he met that, listen, this whole thing about waking up screaming because of racism in the Southern Baptist Church, which knowing him is almost certainly he made it up. It's a lie. But
he needs to be fitted for a straitjacket.
Well, you know, but who knows? Maybe it is true. I mean, maybe he did, because he previously wrote a column saying he broke down, went down to his knees, and cried tears of joy when the Southern Baptist Convention passed a resolution condemning the Confederate flag. So at least we know from that there's at least some element of mental illness in play beyond absurd cuckoldry.
Well, he's a self-hating white. And he's a self-hating Southerner, and good riddance to bad rubbish is what I say. That ought to be the reaction of the Southern Baptist people.
Unfortunately, he is but one of many cuck Christians in the leadership positions of the Southern Baptist Convention. Steve Gaines, J.D. Greer come to mind, obviously, that are in his league.
And may they all do what Russell Moore did and resign.
Well, the thing is, though, they are having a four-way race for the next president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, again, why should you care? It's the biggest Protestant denomination in the world. That's number one. And number two, even if you're not a Christian, Christianity has, in such large parts, defined European mankind, going back to John Sobieski, Charles Martel, Constantine. We don't exist. We're not even here. Charlemagne, we're not here without white Christians, okay? We don't even exist as a people.
Christianity is not.
We don't exist without a people.
You talk about the chosen people. Well, I can tell you, in terms of the historical record, it's obvious that the chosen people were white Gentiles. That's what Charles Martel was. That's what John Sobieski was. That what Prince Don Juan.
We don't exist as a faith or as a people without Christianity. So that's why you should care. And we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, he doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we hadn't named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Knocking at the door. I'm looking at my girlfriend. She passed out on the floor. I've seen so many things I ain't never seen before. Don't know what it is. I don't want to see no more.
Mama told me not to go.
I want to see no more. That's something we can certainly say for
Russell Moore.
We're not going to have to see him anymore.
We don't want to see no more Russell Moore.
He's not even a Southern Baptist anymore. Doesn't even attend a Southern Baptist congregation after last week. And that brings me to this article that I was happy to write for Occidental Descent. Let's pull it up if we can.
We wrote it for the cesspool, and they picked it up, didn't
well,
they?
Well, no. We wrote it for Occidental Descent, and then we cross-posted it. But Brad asked me to take that victory lap
Which
around.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, in with regards to posting, it was done just within a few hours of each other. But as a lifelong Southern Baptist, I've long used our voice in the media to speak out against anti-white heretics like Russell Moore, whose hatred of the South has been a major reason why the Southern Baptist Convention, as you mentioned, Keith, has been hemorrhaging members since the turn of the century. And for the past 5 years, especially, I have sparred with so-called Christians like Russell Moore and Dwight McKissick, who is this radical black malcontent down in Texas, who have publicly called me everything but a child of God. And by dishonestly referring to me as a pro-slavery white supremacist radio host, Russell Moore himself got the party started in 2016. But not to be outdone, McKissick himself, this chronic black malcontent who was the catalyst behind the SBC's infamous anti-Confederate flag resolution, for which Russell Moore obediently cucked, wrote in his customary mangled grammar that I was a KKK leader once again, even after I had notably battled in court against just such libel. So honoring thy father and thy mother and refraining from bearing false witness are clearly a couple of commandments that these Christians never bothered to keep. The war of words waged for years. But I wasn't the only one to point out the staggering hypocrisy emanating from the church. Commenter on Twitter, popular account on Twitter, wrote, the only identity that the Southern Baptist Convention condemns is a white one. And he went on to make mention of the fact that at the Southern Baptist Convention annual meetings, they have a meeting of Asian American Baptists, Chinese Baptists, Native American Baptists, Filipino Baptists, African Baptists, Korean Baptists, on and on. You name every single race, no white male group, no European, no white meetings at the Southern Baptist Convention. So they don't disavow identity politics. They only disavow identity politics for whites. Now, after enough time had passed, the media itself had picked up on the quarrel between yours truly and the Wayward Church. And the Wayward Church quickly learned that I can give as good as I get. There was an article entitled Amazing Disgrace that was written that documented some of the rancor. I think it was National Review or I don't remember who it was.
Another one of those neoconservative cuck organizations.
Right. Russell Moore has become a popular target amongst alt-right Christians, so reads the article. The white supremacist and popular radio show host James Edwards, himself a Southern Baptist, regularly disparages Moore on his program. After the Southern Baptist Convention banned displays of the Confederate flag, Edwards argued that white Southerners have faced a widespread and determined assault on our heritage, symbols, monuments, graves, and identity by secular and governmental forces. For making that statement, they, of course, likened me to Adolf Hitler, but of course they would. Edwards went on to say that the Confederate flag is a Christian flag and argued that to attack it, quote, is to deny the sovereignty, the majesty, and the might of Lord Jesus Christ and his divine role in Southern history, culture, and life. Now, one couldn't help but notice that the church, Russell Moore, and the Antichrist media were using the exact same slurs, white supremacist, Klan leader, to define traditional Christians like me who aren't ashamed of their ancestors. But it all culminated, of course, for my part in it, when the Southern Baptist Convention took the unprecedented step of violating its own rules and procedures by disfellowshipping the entire church to which I belong because my pastor wouldn't agree to expel me as a member. But I have outlasted my detractors, as the good Lord would have it. Russell Moore has now officially abandoned his life work to transform the Southern Baptist Convention into MSNBC at prayer. While it's fairly obvious to whom he's referring, but without mentioning by name, Moore writes about the psychological terror inflicted upon him by those of us who want the Christian faith to be something more than watered-down communism.
You cannot disagree with him without it being termed psychological terror.
Well, this is what he wrote. The unrelenting issue has been, this is Russell Moore speaking now, and I quote, the unrelenting issue has been that of racial reconciliation. My family and I have faced constant threats from white nationalists and white supremacists, including within our own convention. Some have been involved in neo-Confederate activities going back years. Some are involved with groups funded by white nationalists and nativist organizations. And so obviously he's talking about me
and,
there.
And why do you think, James, that they wouldn't let you and your pastor speak at the last convention where they were supposed to bring up the question of disfellowshipping you and your
Because we'd clean
church.
Their clock and people would agree with us.
Yeah,
and that's
basically
the thing.
There would have been a spontaneous uprising at that convention and they would have driven out not only Russell Moore, but Steve Gaines, J.D. Greer, and the whole sorry
And that
cast of
may
characters.
Be what they're about to do this week. I mean, that seems to be the gist, is that there is a so-called conservative uprising. That was actually one of the things Russell Moore wrote in his despicable leaked letter to the Antichrist media, that he was in a meeting of Southern Baptist leadership. And with regards to what's happening right now in the church, one man said there's going to be a civil war for the heart of the Southern Baptist, and this time the good guys are going to win, meaning that obviously the good guys lost.
You know what side Russell Moore is on, because that was his cue to leave the Southern Baptist.
Well, and look, this guy remained a liar to the very end. There were, of course, never any threats, real or imagined, made against him or his family by so-called white nationalists or white supremacists, which are, of course, simply shut-up words used to stifle any white person these days. Wrote a book about that all the way back in 2010, timely more now than ever. Nevertheless, when the dust settled, Keith, Russell Moore's surrender was unconditional. Various media outlets reported in the last week that Russell Moore has parted ways from the Southern Baptist personally as well as professionally. He no longer even attends a Southern Baptist congregation, and it just goes to show that you never know the positive impact the pressure that we apply may be having, or how long it'll take for that pressure to bear good fruit. and for that fruit to manifest itself, but our enemies are not as entrenched and powerful as they seem. Russell Moore is resigned. He is gone. We are still standing, and here we go. He now has a position with Christianity Today, developmental league publication founded by Billy Graham, but not nearly the amount of power and influence he had as the ringleader of the Southern Baptist Convention and all the money that that
they always find wields. Some leftist organization to hire them. That's it. There's never any end of jobs for leftist white haters like Russell Moore. But, you know, you said that they don't pay attention to the commandment to honor thy father and mother and to not bear false witness. There's another one that they are primarily involved in violating through the very core of their being, and that is covetousness. God has given them a congregation, a flock of white sheep, like the Southern Baptist denomination, but they covet a flock of black sheep. But what fools like Russell Moore, J.D. Greer, and others don't realize is be careful what you wish for, your dream may come true. If they got a flock of black people, they would be voted out of their positions and kicked to the curb within 1 month at the outside. These people have no idea. They're just destroyers. They want to destroy a good denomination and a good church like the Southern Baptist Convention and replace it with anarchy and chaos. They want to turn the Southern Baptists into the new manifestation of the old Congregationalist church, which is, all of these churches like that are running on fumes, and that's what they were hoping for with the Southern Baptists.
We haven't even started our coverage of this hour yet. Stay tuned, folks. It's coming up next.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
G7 leaders are signing a Carbis Bay Declaration on health to prevent another global pandemic. Under the declaration, the G7 leaders will be vowing to take steps to ensure global devastation caused by the coronavirus is never repeated. The British government said it plans to establish a new center to prevent infectious diseases from spreading from animals to humans, noting that 75% of new human disease originates in animals, and these diseases have been emerging at an increasing rate. Lawmakers say they want answers after a new article showed that a Trump-era request for lawmakers' cell phone data was retrieved as the former administration sought out leaks during the Russia probe. The Justice Department's Inspector General is looking into the seizure of House Democrats' metadata during the Trump administration. This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regard to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of the Epoch Times and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com.
The MyPillow Premium Pillow Special continues at MyPillow.com. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, you can get a standard or queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings. King-size, only $5 more. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
A shooting on a crowded Austin, Texas street overnight left 13 people injured, and police are searching for at least one gunman. The shooting broke out near 6th Street, a popular bar and nightclub district in the Texas Capitol. Police said victims were transported to the hospital. Of the injured, 11 were in stable condition and 2 were critical. Authorities say it's unclear if there was more than one shooter. One suspect is described as a slender black male with dreadlocks. Authorities in South Florida have identified the gunman who opened fire at a grocery store this week, killing a woman and her toddler grandchild. The sheriff says Timothy Wall killed the child and a woman at a public supermarket before fatally shooting himself. They said Wall first shot the child, then the grandmother bravely interfered and his gun jams. After a struggle, he ends up shooting the grandmother and himself. His family says he was suffering from mental illness. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now, some of y'all never been down south too much. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this so that you understand what I'm talking about. Down there we have a plant that grows out in the woods and the fields. Looks something like a turnip green. Nearby called the poke salad. Poke salad. Used to know a girl lived down there and she'd go out in the evenings and pick her a mess of it. Carry it home and cook it for supper. Cause that's about all they had to eat. They did all right. Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, there lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look tame. Poke salad, Annie. Poke salad, Annie. Everybody said it was a shame, cause her mama was working on a chain gang.
You know, next time David Duke's on, we're going to have to play that one. Why did we play that tonight, Keith?
Well, we're talking about the South and Southerners and the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the biggest church denomination in the American South and the biggest Protestant denomination in all of Christendom. So, you know, why not play
Close.
You know, the Southern theme is what we're talking about now, and how even the Southern Baptist Convention is turned on its own flock. You know, they're trying to fleece their flock. Apparently, they just want them to contribute money to left-wing causes.
Well, and
hopefully, the Southern Baptist flock is going to decide that they do not want shepherds that are unworthy. They need to get shepherds who love their sheep, not shepherds who hate their sheep.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, people like Russell Moore are truly the lowest forms of life on earth, people who would betray their own kind. You have to hate your ancestors. You have to be ashamed of your parents in order to be a good Christian.
Well, they hate their own flock. See, the thing is, who do you think makes up the Southern Baptist churches? White Southerners, for the most part. And apparently, white Southerners are to be hated and reviled by their own shepherds. And guess what? The sheep are rising up, and they're going to drive these false shepherds, just like false prophets, out of their midst.
Well, it's like Sigourney Weaver said in Aliens, the sequel to Alien, when her role as Ellen Ripley. You don't see them screwing each other over for a percentage, talking about how these people will betray their own heritage, their own kith and kin, in order to be patted on the head by the Antichrist press and take a little bit of money for themselves. That's
and
where the
get a little money under the table from George Soros.
Well, and there's no shortage of cuck Christians now that Russell Moore is gone. You still have J.D. Greer, who is even worse than him, Steve Gaines. You know, Steve Gaines, who was the previous president of the Southern Baptist Convention, there used to be a fireworks show that would be held every year at Bellevue Baptist Church, which is one of the largest Southern Baptist congregations in the world, right here in Memphis, Tennessee. They used to have a fireworks show every year. But for years, Bellevue has put a predominant focus on its outreach into the so-called disadvantaged communities here in Memphis. And that's, of course,
the flock that they covet, the black flock.
But that they don't have. And so they had this fireworks show one year after all this outreach to certain communities. And wouldn't you know it, and we happened to be there. My family and I were there that night. We don't go to Bellevue, but we did go for the fireworks show because it was a big fireworks show every year, and everybody knew it was there. And you know, there was a group of blacks that had a gunfight right in the middle of the fireworks show, shooting at each other.
That's what they mean by fireworks.
And that was the last time Bellevue ever had a fireworks show. They haven't had one since. Now, I wonder why that is. Is it because I'm right about these things and they're not? I mean, why can't you have good things and have diversity as well? Well, that's a deeper question. And then there was the question of course, Steve Gaines, the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church, going back to his very beginning at that particular church, which again is one of the flagship churches of the Southern Baptist Convention. There was an admitted pedophile who admitted to molesting his own son. And Steve Gaines covered that up and allowed this man to continue to work in his children's ministry. I mean, this is the kind of sickness that you have out of people like J.D. Greer and Steve Gaines. Not only do they hate themselves, they hate their ancestors, and they teach that if you don't also hate your ancestors, you can't be a good Christian. Russell Moore. I mean, these are the people that they cover for while hanging people like us out to dry. I mean, this
they're
is what
hirelings.
You've done.
What does the Bible say about a hireling shepherd that will leave the flock to the tender mercies of the wolves, but the good shepherd will stay there and lay down his life for his flock. I don't think that Steve Gaines...
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point, Keith, and that actually gets to my next point. If Christians behaved like Steve Gaines and Russell Moore and J.D. Greer in the early days of our faith, we'd have been snuffed out post-haste. If we had people like them in the place of Charlemagne and Sobieski and Martel, not only is the Christian faith completely eradicated from the face of the earth, so too is European mankind. Thank God we had stronger men than that in a better time.
Look,
God wants soldiers. God wants soldiers. He doesn't want apologetic weaklings. He doesn't want cucks.
And look, white people were chosen by God to preserve, protect, and propagate his faith.
I read an article about that.
That's exactly what it was. Look at the history over two millennia. Look at Charles Martel saving Europe for Christianity against the Moors coming in under Suleiman the Great. Also, King John Sobieski at the Battle of Vienna, or Prince Don Juan of Austria regarding the naval battle of Lepanto. Also, if there is a non-white person in the world that has a Christian faith, more than likely he got it from a white person, or one of his ancestors got it from a white missionary, a white European, genetically, a Gentile, white person. So, you know, let's be frank about this. We've heard all the slanders against white people. Why don't we hear some of the praise for white Christians? Christianity is hated by the left primarily because they see it as a white man's religion.
That's absolutely right. And churches are dying because people don't want to go. The Southern Baptist Convention has been hemorrhaging millions, tens of millions of members since the turn of the century, because people don't want to go to church and hear the same message that they get from the world. They don't want to go and hear a watered-down message that you could hear on MSNBC. And you've got all these people who are so scared of being attacked. And what happens is you've got malcontents like Dwight McKissick, these insurrectionists within the Southern Baptist Convention, this black man, who does his little dog and pony show, and he comes in, well, we got to pass this resolution condemning the Confederate flag, and we're going to pass it, and you don't want to have dissension, do you? I mean, you want to come together. You don't want to have dissension. You better come together and make peace, because otherwise you're the troublemaker.
I can tell you this.
And that's where they're at.
Dwight McKissick is being paid by someone, either the Southern Baptist Convention or George Soros or someone, to do this.
I don't know about that, Keith. I don't know about that. I mean, he's getting paid by his church. Hey, he hates white people.
Somebody hates white people.
He does it for free. He does it for free because he hates white people.
I have talked to
Dwight McKissick off the air. We've never had him on the air. I'll tell you about my interactions with Dwight McKissick in the next segment. But this guy hates white people with a passion. He hates it with a passion so pure it would blot out the sun.
Well, let me tell you, these people, just like Martin Luther King, were getting paid. Most of them get paid to do what they do. Now, also...
Well, he's getting paid by his predominantly black congregation to stick it to the white man. Yeah, he is.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do people leave these Christian denominations that consistently go to the left? Christianity and liberalism, there's no common ground, okay? They would have you believe that everything that is liberal is also Christian and vice versa. There's no more Liberal Christianity is a misnomer. It's an oxymoron. It'd be like holy sin. Liberalism is the modern face of evil. Everything that the liberals have promoted is contrary to God's law. And that's just the long and short of it. And when people, like it says in the Bible, if you ask for a loaf and are given a stone, if you ask for a fish and are given a serpent, people go elsewhere for spiritual nourishment. That's what's happened to the Southern Baptist Convention. That's what's happened to the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Methodists, Roman Catholics. The list goes on and on. Basically, churches are emptying out. Not because people are losing their Christian faith, but because they realize that the Christian faith no longer resides in the denominational headquarters of the churches that they once belonged to.
Well, the good news is I love a fight, and the fight has been taken to me. The fight has been taken to my church. They violated their own rules, and...
And thank goodness your pastor had the moral rectitude and the courage to stand up.
That's why we take it personally. I mean, Keith, I mean, that didn't only violate their own rules and procedures. They violated the Word of God, which states that if you have a quarrel with a brother, you take it that brother before the sun sets. And if it's not resolved, you come with another member of the church. They never once reached out to me. Not once, not ever did they reach out to me.
They stuffed a sock in your mouth and in your pastor's mouth and kicked you out.
Well, they didn't even vote on kicking us out. They just removed us from the rolls. This is how corrupt these people are.
Because they knew they would lose if they put it up before the convention.
We'll take a quick break. Hang on.
Here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
She's one of those girls who seems to come in the spring. One look in her eyes and you'll forget.
Keith Alexander, why are we playing Younger Girl? John Sebastian, most famous for being a member of the Loving Spoonful, Younger Girl
wrote the song, but the most memorable recording of it is by the Critters, which was a little garage band out of New Jersey.
Why is that germane to our conversation about the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, you're talking about pedophiles in the Bellevue Baptist Church.
Well, here's the thing: when you have weak men, when you have weak men leading your flock, you open yourself up to all sorts of disasters, including that aforementioned and the most despicable pedophilia. But, you know, the good news is I love a fight. Now, why is this personal to me? Well, it's personal for a lot of reasons. I think you already know. But this whole thing, you know, Dwight McKissick as this...
would-be thug.
black... Yeah, you know, he actually asked me... demanded an apology for calling him a thug on the radio. And I said, Dwight, I don't know, you know, what kind of men, what kind of white men you're used to encountering in the church when you demand an apology and they give it. It's never going to happen here. I told him that flat out. I said, you're never going to get an apology out of me. And then he went on to this thing where he wanted to debate me. And I said, okay, well, you know, let's have it down at your church, and we'll go 12 rounds. He said, well, I can't have it at my church. You know, they would never allow that. I said, well, I thought you were the leader of that church. I thought you were the pastor. You can't have what you want at your church. So basically, he wanted me to foot the bill to have this event, this debate between me and him at some, I guess, joint that I would pay for, and you know that wasn't going to happen either. But
I've done it at Bellevue Baptist Church.
Well, that's right. Well, you know, Steve Gaines is totally at the beck and call of Dwight McKissick. Dwight McKissick, though, told me that the anti-alt-right resolution. Now, how knee-jerk was this? The alt-right was only a thing for about a year, and the Southern Baptists felt compelled to passed this anti-alt-right resolution. Well, it failed the first three times. They voted on it three times. It failed three times. They violated their own procedures once again. It violated Robert's Rules of Order. Violated everything to continue to vote on it until enough people went to bed that it would actually pass. And Dwight McKissick said that he went to Russell Moore and to Steve Gaines and said that James Edwards is against this resolution. And that's how they got it passed. Now, let me tell you something. He told me that personally. If the largest Protestant denomination in the world is basing their decisions because of what you stand for or don't stand for, that is a level of power and influence that most people will ever know. He told me that that thing passed, that the largest Protestant denomination in the world made a decision based upon my opinion of it. Now, again, I hate that we always have to go down in history, Keith, as on the losing side in this incident and also in the incident with Court of Appeals in Michigan where they completely rewrote defamation precedent, libel precedent. But nevertheless, they do know our name.
Well, let me tell you this. The irony of that is that the people of Bellevue Baptist, the people that actually belong there, really have no better friend in the world than James Edwards and James Edwards' pastor. But they've kicked them out because they do not follow the current fashion of liberal Christianity, which, like we said, is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as liberal Christianity any more than there's such a thing as holy sin. James basically has your best interests at heart. All Southern Baptists, all legitimate Southern Baptists. He is a true son of the faith, a true member of Jesus's flock. And as a result of that, the wolves in sheep's clothing are not James Edwards. It's Dwight McKissick and Russell Moore and J.D. Greer and others.
Steve Gaines and others. Did we lose the battle but win the war? Maybe. Maybe the Southern Baptists are now learning that you can't curry favor with the chronic malcontents and the voices of the left by placating them. It's like we said earlier.
You can't ignore the sheep in your own flock.
Well, it's like we said earlier, when you placate insolent and sullen children, you rob them of their ability to be fully functioning adults. And that has been the SBC's response to Dwight McKissick, to continue to placate him. But it never occurs you any favor when he demanded that you denounce the Confederate flag, which is a Christian flag. You did it. Was he happy? No. It was on to the next grievance, which was the alt-right.
And that's why they were hemorrhaging members
all the while. And now this convention, he wants them to denounce systemic racism. It's always on to the next thing. And here is the New Yorker.
I've got a modest proposal to the Southern Baptist Convention. Why don't you denounce liberalism? Why don't you renounce Black Lives Matter and Antifa?
We'll see how it goes in Nashville this week. There is a contingent that is fighting for the soul of the Southern Baptist Convention. Are they as stout-hearted as us? No. But are they better than the Greer, the McKissick, the Steve Gaines, the Russell Moore? Russell Moore's gone. And so is Beth Moore. No relation. Beth Moore's big shtick was to have female pastors. She's gone. Russell Moore's big shtick was to hate all white people. He's gone. But here's Dwight McKissick, though. In the New Yorker, here's this cover photo of him, Keith.
He looks like he stumbled out of an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting.
The fight for the heart of the Southern Baptist Convention. Don't you just love it, Keith, when the Antichrist media wants to help Southern Baptists by teaching them where they're going astray? Here's the Antichrist New Yorker, the New Yorker magazine. How the convention's battle over race reveals an emerging evangelical schism. And it's got Dwight McKissick. And here's Dwight McKissick sitting on a stool. And at the beginning of the article reads, Dwight McKissick cast an imposing figure. Well, you know, frankly, that's one way to put it. Other people, more honest people, would put it morbidly obese. That's what he is, and it's a shame, and it's sad, and I fear for his health for that. But
he can blot out the sun.
But in any event, you've got this situation where Dwight McKissick supports Black Lives Matter. He supports this terrorist group. Russell Moore supports this terrorist group. They attack their own church through CNN, the Washington Post. CNN and the Washington Post are not friends of Christ. The establishment media, the Antichrist media, they're not friends of
New
the church.
New Yorker magazine, can you imagine that? Have they ever supported anything that real Southern Baptists?
Well,
they hate real Southern Baptists.
Christian. They're always, everything, every bit of their content is anti-Christian, but then they put this heartfelt article talking about the Southern Baptists. Man, we hope they make the right decision. Here's Dwight McKissick. He's going to help you make the right decision.
We're praying for you, Southern Baptists.
You know, yeah.
First time anybody at the New Yorker prayed for anything.
The Atlantic wrote this article defending Russell Moore, how sad it is that the Southern Baptists have lost their voice of conscience. You know, in their opinion, Christ is pro-feminist, pro-terrorist, Black Lives Matter. He's anti-white. Here's this New Yorker article. Russell Moore leaks all the dirty laundry to the Antichrist press. But here's what you've got in the church. Let me tell you, because I know. You've got three types. You've got the destroyer. You've got people like Russell Moore who are there to destroy. I don't think anybody who's judged him by the fruit that he bears would consider Russell Moore to be a Christian of any sort.
Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
And that's Russell Moore. And then you've got your low IQ white-hating black like Dwight McKissick, that he's just there to hate white people, and that's his entire job. And then you've got cuckolds like Steve Gaines.
Moral cowards.
You've got moral cowards like Steve Gaines. You've got sissies like Steve Gaines and his son and people like that. And that's the
third. You know, the first time I laid eyes on Steve Gaines, I knew he was a change agent. I guarantee you, Adrian Rogers, whose position he acceded to after Adrian Rogers' death, must be spinning in his grave, thinking that his church has been turned over to a Christian cuck like Steve Gaines.
Well, as A.W. Tozer put it, a real Christian, religion today is not transforming people. Rather, it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society. It is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender. So that's what you've got with the church. That's what you've got with people like Gaines and Greer and Moore. And, of course, the agenda of McKissick, though, as a white-hating black man is entirely different. But they're all in league together because it's easier to go along with the flow. It's easier to do that. No, you're not a sinner. You're not putting yourself up against God's wrath to Be proud of who you are. The Southern Baptist Convention admits that with their own actions. They allow every ethnic group to meet under the banner of its own ethnicity at their own sanctioned conventions, except for white men and European people.
White men are the new untouchables in the eyes of the left. And unfortunately, the long march through the institution has gone straight through denominational headquarters for almost all major Christian denominations. Eastern Orthodox haven't gone there. There are a few other denominations that haven't. And there are particular churches within denominations that have run up the flag of surrender to the left.
Well, here you
but
have.
There are, believe me, it's difficult to find a good Bible-believing church nowadays.
You can't find it at the denominational level, but you can find it on the local street corner church level in certain situations. But hey, let me tell you something, folks. We already mentioned the largest Protestant denomination in the world bases its decision upon the positions we take here at TPC. We know that for a fact. That's influence. If you want to help us keep pressure on the enemies of Christ and our people, please send your support during this, our second quarter fundraising drive. Our quarterly donors make all the difference. We know who you are, and we love you dearly. The Political Cesspool, P.O. Box 34336, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. Go to the website. You can get the address. We can only accept, of course, contributions via check or money order because we've been completely blacklisted. But we will never stop fighting. We've got a great book for you, better than any book for sale other than the Bible at the Southern Baptist Convention's meeting this week in Nashville. It's Mark Collett's book, The Fall of Western Man. Please support us, folks. Please stand with us. Take advantage of this offer.
The spirit of the defenders of the Alamo resides at the Political Cesspool.
And we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Thank you, Keith. You know what?